the years. We are out.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're out of time. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives. I'd like to thank our board op, Gary Baca, and our assistant producer, Romero Funes. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230 or go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. Sojourner Truth will be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. Later this morning at 10, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Stephen Allred, author of the new novel, The Ale House at the End of the World, published by Portland's Forest Avenue Press. At 11:30, Words and Pictures, the creators of the absurdist sci-fi graphic novel BTTMFDRS talk about their work. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm. Click on Donate. It's 9 o'clock. Press Watch is next.
KBOO is excited to announce that this Thursday, November 8th, is our big giveaway with Willamette Week Give Guide. When you give $10 or more to KBOO on Thursday, November 8th, you will be entered into a raffle for a $500 gift card to Powell's Bookstore to be used for turning the pages of all the banned books you can't wait to get your fingers on, for those of you 35 and under. This year, Willamette Week and KBOO are challenging our community to give with their dollars and take action by showing up in real life. Authors have been interviewed on our air for over 50 years. Give to KBOO today, and you also get full access to the Chinook Book app, plus freebies from Laughing Planet, Gluten Free Gem, We Press, and Nossa Familia Coffee. You can contribute right now at kboo.fm/give or call at 503-231-8032. Support KBOO, where music makes the movement. Tune in and turn up.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I have to start with some breaking news. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg fell in her office and fractured three ribs, according to CNBC. The 85-year-old liberal justice was admitted to a hospital today. Ginsburg's health has been a matter of intense speculation, they write. In recent years, the court's oldest member, Ginsburg, has survived multiple bouts with cancer and in 2014 underwent a procedure to have a stent placed in her right coronary artery. It says the fall happened Wednesday evening. There's a quote from... I'm not sure where the quote is from, but it says she went home, but after experiencing discomfort overnight, she went to George Washington University Hospital early this morning. Oh, the court said this in a statement. Tests showed that she fractured three ribs on her left side and was admitted for observation and treatment, end quote. So that must have hurt. And don't have the latest on her condition, just that she has fallen down, broken ribs, and is in the hospital. And my intention today was to continue to talk about the ongoing executive branch attack on the right of transgender people to live as themselves and to have equal rights. And I may get around to that, but there's more breaking news today. And that is that Trump has forced out Jeff Sessions. Of course, the reason Trump has forced out Attorney General Jeff Sessions is to obstruct justice. And this was clear by the fact that instead of having Sessions resigned for cause or firing him for cause. And instead of going to the deputy attorney general, which would be Rosenstein, Trump selected a man who is known to be a supporter of Trump's intention to obstruct justice, a man named Whitaker, who has said that a good tactic would be to reduce the funding of Mueller's investigation of Russiagate to the point that the investigation could not go on, and save the president from prosecution in that manner. So this is the moment that we had been expecting and waiting for. It is, as writers for Common Dreams say, a red line that has been crossed. This is the president trying to completely, pardon me, put himself above the law and prevent the conclusion of the investigation into his obstruction of justice and into his collusion with the Russian government in order to win the election. So if he gets his way, and if he is not impeached at this point, then basically we will have rule by fiat, in which the president can select the attorney general on the basis of obstructing justice and avoid investigation of himself and his family. For this reason, for a long period of time now, for I would say better part of a year, if not longer, there have been plans in place to protest this exact move. Not because there was anything really good about Jeff Sessions. He was the worst ever so far as I was concerned, and I was very worried about his intent and his moves to impose federal law over state law in terms of prosecuting everyone who smokes and distributes marijuana. He was moving in that way as quickly as he could. Now he's out, and so I don't know what the status of that aggression is. But I doubt that it's going to work out to be good news. And in any event, the reason that Sessions is gone is so that Trump can obstruct justice. So we have an hour, and I have changed my plans here. It may be that I'll get around to talking about the aggression against transgender members of our society. But right now it's 9:07 Pacific time. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, and I want you to call in. I want to do a talk radio show about impeachment of the president, about massive demonstrations, about how far we can take these demonstrations, whether we can move this forward into a general strike, move it forward into some sort of ongoing protest that can oppose the fascistization, the corporatization of the U.S. government. Number to call is 503-231-8187. I once again like to encourage women to call in. I know my voice sounds baritone, and it is baritone, but I am a transgender woman. My name is Teresa, and I know that male voices dominate in most fora, and certainly on talk radio, and so I encourage women to call in. Don't hold back. I'd like to know what you think. I'd like to know what you think about the elections. But first and foremost, I'd like to know what your plans are in dealing with the fact that Trump has crossed the Rubicon. If you're wondering what that phrase refers to, it's a reference to Julius Caesar destroying the Republic and becoming emperor, in effect, by crossing the Rubicon River with his troops to enforce his will on Rome. And this is that moment that we have expected. We can see what a fascist Trump is, how fascist his followers are. He's been doubling down on that feverishly because he intends to rule from the minority of conservative white men. And I hope that sound will encourage you to call in. Number to call is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. 8187, and let's talk about impeaching Trump. Let me give you a bit more information about that. Pardon me. This is from the New York Times. New York Times article is came out this morning, and it's about Trump's abrogation of his responsibilities in his attempt. Well, his firing of Jeff Sessions. They write, President Trump fired Attorney General Jeff Sessions on Wednesday, replacing him with a loyalist who has echoed the president's complaints about special counsel investigation into Russia's election interference and will now take charge of the inquiry. So when they say a loyalist, they're talking about Whitaker. And he is indeed a loyalist and has been very clear about it. And so once again, Trump's action now is a shot across the bow, an indication that he intends to be without oversight. He intends to rule rather than to execute the duties of his office, because he now believes himself to be above the law, and he has acted on it. Sessions is out in order to obstruct justice. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Mr. Sessions, they write, delivered his resignation letter to his resignation letter to the White House at the request of the president, who tapped Matthew G. Whitaker, Mr. Sessions' chief of staff, as acting attorney general, raising questions about the future of the inquiry led by the special counsel Robert S. Mueller III. And once again, speaking for myself, he picked Whitaker rather than just going to the deputy, which would be Rosenstein, because he wants to avoid prosecution. This is obstruction of justice. This is impeachment, or it's not impeachment. And the action or inaction by Congress at this point will determine much over the next few years. It comes in the context of the Republicans being called out for their egregious and extensive attempt to suppress the vote in the election. And it comes in the context of the House of Representatives being won by the Democrats, which means that starting at the end of January, they will be in office and they will be able to move forward with investigations, subpoenas. And if I remember correctly, if I remember my civics correctly, they can have a bill of impeachment and then move it to the Senate for a trial. Now, the Senate is full of Republicans. It is majority Republicans. But this is that thing that surely even the Republicans have dreaded, that thing in which Trump has gone forward and said, okay, screw the rule of law. I'm the emperor now. So the question is, what are we going to do? And I'm going to go to the first caller, 503-231-8187, and Dan's on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
First, just parenthetically, I must compliment you on use of the word fora as plural for forums. You don't hear that every day on the radio, and that's why we listen to KBOO.
I get a dollar.
Yeah, it's cool. Anyway, my question or point for consideration, how much hope can we have that Mueller has foreseen such circumstances and has enough arrows in his quiver to lay out what he's found, regardless of what happens? The subset of that is, can DOJ prevent him from even presenting what he's already found out? And presumably he's found out a fair bit.
That's a good question. I was wondering that myself. He certainly seems to be the savvy sort. He was an FBI director. And I'm wondering what action he might take. Now, he's a Republican, if I recall correctly. But he must be
he's
pretty steamed at this point.
He's a straight shooter, it seems.
Well, and recently
there are such things as honorable Republicans. They're few and far between, but they do exist.
Well, here's hoping, right? But I wonder what he'll do. I mean, I imagine he was rather steamed when word came out that there was an attempt to falsely implicate him
right.
Was it going to be a sex scandal or something? I can't recall now. It was just so ridiculous. I put it out of my head.
It was extremely amateurish by two bozos who ended up having a press conference that they were laughed off the stage. They solicited a woman, going to pay her $30,000 and more to say that Mueller had assaulted her back when he was in the private sector 20 or 30 years ago, and the whole thing was tissue thin and just exploded under the most,
Yeah, and he turned on him. He is now investigating that.
Yeah, the two bozos, that's defamation or libel or something. They're in trouble. But it was so amateurish, it didn't hold any water. It would be interesting to see what happens with Mueller, and sooner rather than later. At this point, he was holding off due to the tradition of not having any kind of big info on an investigation within 60 days of an election. So now we wait and see. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we have to wait and see on that. I'm aware that protests have been called across the nation. I've got information on two locations here in Portland. They're both at 5 p.m., and they're both downtown. One is at the north end of the park blocks, and the other is called for Pioneer Square. So these are emergency demonstrations that have been long held in abeyance waiting for the firing of Sessions.
And that's today.
Yep.
Keep instructing us in Latin, Teresa. I'm going to hang up, and as always, I wish you all the best. You are a brave voice in the wilderness.
Oh, thanks. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, talking about Sessions being forced out. Now, there's another thing going on today. City Council is meeting, and Ted Wheeler wants to push through an ordinance that would effectively criminalize protest, saying that it's necessary because of street fighting. And the ACLU is showing up and countering this and saying, look, we've already got rules against street fighting. And this is something that's come down as part of the media has participated in this sort of false equivalency in which you can have right-wing thugs come across state lines from all over the country, in fact, but mostly from Vancouver, thanks to Joey and his jerks come across and go into Portland to punish us for being left and go around and beat people up and pick fights. And then because they do that and because we must defend ourselves, then we have this false equivalency that if we defend ourselves, then we're all just people who fight and that protests are dangerous because they lead to fights. This is a handy way for a continuation of City of Portland policy, longstanding effective policy of suppressing the left. And that statement's very easy for me to back up. And when I say it, I think of the cops turning their backs on Patriot Prayer there on NATO Parkway on August 4th as I stood there and recorded it for KBOO, turned their back to their comfortable friends that they didn't have to worry about and faced everyone else from the city of Portland who had come to say no fascism and no violence here, that we are here to counter that. So I'll go to the next caller. Once again, the number to call, 503-231-8187. And Camila's on the air.
Good morning. I'm concerned that there may be confusion about these rallies. You just mentioned the North Park blocks. That is the fourth place that I've heard mentioned. I believe that's a mistake. The plan is for Waterfront Park north of Burnside Bridge. There is also a plan for Pioneer Square and a plan for Ron Wyden's office.
Ron Wyden, yeah, I've seen the one for Ron Wyden's office.
There is a Facebook post for Trump is not above the law. I know that Indivisible has been planning one at Pioneer Square at 5 o'clock, and the Trump is not above the law, which has had subscribers for, as you mentioned, over a year, ready to move immediately, and it is been shifted to the Waterfront Park north of Burnside because there's concern that there's not enough space at Pioneer Square to hold everybody.
Okay, well, thanks for correcting that.
So, you know, please check this out carefully.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's
it. Are you going?
Absolutely.
All right.
I've been signed up for a year at least.
All right.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks very much. And so that was a reference to Facebook. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I've changed my agenda for this morning and going with the headlines that, in fact, Sessions has been forced out. And then just to make it more clear that this is about obstruction of justice, Whitaker has been put in place of Rosenstein, who would normally take that seat as deputy. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to the next caller. Okay. Once again, that number, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. That headline again, Trump has forced out Jeff Sessions in an effort to raise himself above rule of law. And there are protests called around the country. If you look on commondreams.org, they write, progressive organizations have announced coordinated protests to take place in cities and communities nationwide today at 5 p.m. local time in the wake of President Donald Trump's firing of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. They write, right after Trump forced Sessions to resign, the White House announced that Matthew Whitaker, a DOJ official who has shown open hostility to the probe by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, would now serve as acting attorney general and be put in charge of ongoing investigation. Quoting Robert Weissman, president of Public Citizen, Trump just put someone who has openly trashed special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation in charge of it, end quote. That's Robert Weissman, president of Public Citizen, one of the advocacy groups behind the rapid response demonstrations. And he wrote in an emergency email yesterday, Trump thought that by waiting until after the polls closed on election day, our voices would be silent. He was wrong, end quote. Anna Galland, executive director for MoveOn.org, said, this is a red line crossed, an attack on rule of law. And I have to agree. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. We'll go to the next caller. Hello there.
The demonstrations, what time should I go to City Hall to tell Wheeler to stop being a fascist?
I believe that is at 2.
Okay, and it's the ACLU. I mean, I find that you can spend many, many hours there before anything meaningful happens. Is it agenda? Do you have any clue? Should I call the ACLU to find out?
It's on the agenda, and I don't know further than that, and it wouldn't hurt to call the ACLU. The City Council agenda, I should be able to find that. They post it.
Okay. I'm having trouble with my net coverage.
Okay.
One other question. I'm calling for it to come out.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are any groups calling for people to come out to City Council, or is this just Wheeler versus the ACLU? Mullah Gada Sarah was only 35 years ago, but those people have never left. I guess they're a big deal in Vancouver, and it's amazing that Wheeler wants to hand them the city.
Yeah, I saw a quote on Reddit making reference to Gandalf's speech in Lord of the Rings. It was pretty stirring. It was saying he was queried by one of the characters saying that basically that it was a drag to live in such times, and Gandalf agrees, but he says we can't choose what times we live in. All we can choose is how we deal with it. And I think it's an appropriate sentiment.
To quote Chris Hedges, who alternately impresses me and irritates me, I fight fascists because they're fascists. I'll be the Trotskyist for a minute. They argue that there's no free speech for fascists and they should be confronted physically. I disagree. I think you should defend yourself. And that's a complicated thing to figure out since I'm 66 and have never struck anyone in my life. So, yes.
It's a bit much.
Yeah. And it's a bit much that, you know, downtown Beirut or whatever Portland used to be called has a pseudo-liberal mayor who is like, I don't get it. Does he think he has to act like this to become elected governor?
You have to wonder who he's responding to. I mean, this is the sort of thing that I would expect to come out of the Portland Business Alliance.
Uh-huh. Which I suppose, having been, you know, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, like George Bush, and thought that, you know, I'm sorry, being born on third base and thought he hit a triple. And Wheeler seems to be pretty much the same. You know, talking about he was a, you know, struggling entrepreneur with his ice cream business. His family has major money.
Yes, anyway. I have no doubt. That's usually the case. I just found the city council posting for Thursday, November 8th. The agenda starting at 2 p.m. says it has a time certain item at 2:15 p.m. Title is authorize the commissioner in charge of the police bureau, that would be the mayor, to order content neutral time, place, and manner regulations for demonstrations held in the city. At parentheses, ordinance introduced by Mayor Wheeler, close parentheses, 2 hours, 45 minutes requested. So in response to
I'm sure he's fast-tracking this, because once Joanne's seated, he won't get away with it as easily.
Yes, and if I recall correctly, he needs a unanimous vote to be able to get this through.
Well,
as an emergency,
Hugh Daly, as miserable and disappointing as she's been, will not support this. I don't think so. So maybe I should stay home and not worry about it. But I'm going to go anyway.
Well, I'm going to guess that Hugh Daly and Fish might need the support of people coming out to oppose it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Fish. Fish actually in opposition to this, because I had a.
No, that's speculation on my part.
I think you might be wrong. I mean, he was disgusting during Occupy. He basically equated the CART department's $85,000 of overtime as being, you know, the reason that Occupy was evil and disgusting, and aren't they horrible? And obviously, you know, you have a huge homeless camp being administered without a single penny by the city, except for, you know, throwing money at cops. And there's going to be a bit of a mess when they leave, and a whole lot of people in unfortunate circumstances didn't behave very well. But $85,000 in park department overbilled overtime was not the issue of Occupy, and it was just outrageous that he claimed that. And when I confronted him with a towel around me in the gym, he got berserk. I find him quite repulsive. Anyway, I'm sure you've got other people to whine.
Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate you calling in, and there's a lot to talk about. There's that, you know, I plan to be downtown this afternoon and to record this and record the goings on, and we'll see what happens. But as I was saying, there's a nationwide call out. A red line crossed, as Common Dreams writes. President Trump has decided now that he is entirely above the law, and he's going to fire the attorney general and then hire a loyalist to prevent being prosecuted over Russiagate. He thinks that now is the time, now that there's a lame duck Congress in place. He's got his loyalists still there. In the Republican Party, in the House of Representatives, and he thinks maybe it'll all blow over by the time they take office end of January. But there are national demonstrations called, and I have a little music to go along with President Trump's intention this morning.
When the Führer says, in the Führer's face, not to love the Führer is a great disgrace, so we heil, right in the Führer's face.
Spike Jonze, traditional anti-fascist music. music that killed lots of fascists 70 years ago or so. And number to call, 503-231-8187. I'd like to thank those of you who are waiting patiently. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This show is called Press Watch News. You're not supposed to know, and we'll go to the next caller. Mark Avios.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Excellent. Yeah, I've listened to KBOO for a while. It's my first time calling in. Hey, I just wanted to say I'm from Alabama. I've been living in Portland since 2009. I think Jeff Sessions is a weirdo racist, and, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what kind of ambiguity he has towards that. I don't like him. But I definitely think that, you know, choosing to remove him is something that, you know, not, you know, towards that benefit, it's going to benefit.
Oh, I have to agree. It's not about Sessions. I mean, it's not about Sessions personally or his agenda. It's just about Trump trying to avoid prosecution and putting himself above the law.
Right. And that's something that we should remember as, well, maybe I shouldn't say we for those, you know, people listening, but that's something that lefties should remember, that just because, like, some of these, you know, swamp members that are in the swamp right now are going to be drained because they're going up against, you know, Trump's uber rightness. It's still going to be an issue that we're going to be facing. So years ago, I would say maybe 2015, when I first started to notice the what I like to call left-hating rhetoric, I equated it to the type of left-hating rhetoric that I would watch on YouTube videos in Germany. And I would hear Germans talk about it as something that's pointedly from far-right rhetoric, and as something that's recognized in Germany as something that's from far-right rhetoric. Like, for instance, talking shit about, or talking crap about feminists, excuse me. Talking crap
about...
You have to watch that.
And sorry about the dump, but go ahead.
Yeah, super sorry, you guys. It's my first time on the radio in, like, 10 years. But what do you call it? Like, for instance... on YouTube, Change My Mind. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there's this gentleman, I think his name is Chowder or Crowder or something like that. He's got this YouTube channel where he'll go around to campuses and he'll say, like, oh, feminism is bad, change my mind, for example. I feel like those things were largely ignored in the years leading up to the election and even after the election and everything like that, and that's likely what, in the United States at least, allowed the conservative, you know, viewpoints and everything like that to regress so far into the far right.
Do you think the left has been intimidated for all these years after the election of Reagan?
I feel like the left has been vocal since maybe even Kennedy, and, you know, Kennedy has had his issues with warmongering and everything like that, but what do you call it, like, you know, maybe more secretly, you know, with Operation 40 and whatnot. But I feel like the left has been baited and gaslighted into this position because, you know, like, I'm starting to lose my train of thought, but I kind of feel like when the left is pointing out these issues and the right is just saying, oh, look, they're mad, or just, you know, basically, you know, dismissing them for one reason or another and not, you know, attacking the actual rhetorical or non-rhetorical issue that the left will raise, I feel like that particular dismissiveness and that particular, you know, like, way to make fun of the left has what's allowed far right rhetoric to become so normalized. Maybe it's because of a portion of American culture to, you know, like, feel good about commiseration. You know, how people, like, will, you know, get together and, you know, down talk something, and that's like, you know, I've traveled around a little bit. I think
I know where you're going with it. The right doesn't want to know what the facts are. They want to know whose side you're on. It's a tribalist thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I hear about, you know, identity politics being a pointedly left thing, but I usually see the identity politics argument being used to defeat any other sort of political argument being used by the right. And that's more what I mean is, you know, the ad hominem type of a thing is what's allowed that type of rhetoric to grow so easily. Because I feel like maybe if it's so easy to not listen to the left, it would be, you know, pointedly easy to listen to the only other voice in a two-party system would be the right. And if the strongest voice is the far right, with, you know, folks like, you know, what's going on YouTube or something like that, then yeah, that's going to be the voice people are listening to if they're feeling disenfranchised. And we talked about this in another way when we talked about the working class and Trump and the 2016 election. And, you know, like afterwards we talked about how, you know, those people felt disenfranchised by Trump. And, you know, like there's I could go back in history and think about fascist organizations and think about, you know, maybe one of the Nazis, you know, had a good time under, you know, their Nazi, you know, overlords. But overall, if you really thought about it, you know, they could have done way better, and, you know, and blah, 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 blah. But I kind of feel like I'm derailing myself.
Well, I think you've made some good points. I do appreciate you calling in. I think I will go to the next caller since the lines are lit up at this point.
Totally.
And, an effort to be fair, but thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And hi, we'll go to the next caller.
Hello.
Hello.
This is LJ.
Hi, LJ.
How you been?
Doing all right. Yourself?
Okay, you know, pretty good for an old man, slugging along. So just a couple of quick things, and I'll get off the air. First of all, we need to do a big shout-out to Stacey Abrams for not rolling over and playing dead.
Especially since those the ballots that have been prevented from being counted are, of course, disproportionately going to be in her favor, and that's why they were ejected in the first place. But go on.
Absolutely. It seems to me, Teresa, that the that the only way the white Republicans can win an election is by stealing it.
Yeah, this is part of apartheid rule.
And that's apparently what's going on. And also a shout out to the two Native women that were elected to the Congress and the two Muslim women that were elected to the Congress.
How about that? Yeah.
And I have a little read that the audience might be interested in. This is from the November 5th issue of The Nation. And the title of the article is by K.A.I. Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, White Men's Tantrums. They're frustrated by the prospect of their power eroding. The sidebar reads, white male power has long relied on the veneer of democracy and law to preserve its control.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, thank you so much for the show. Thank you for all that you do, Teresa. You are very, very much appreciated and very, very much loved. And keep on keeping on. Take care. Have a good day.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I mean, Tantrum is pretty much Trump's middle name. That's how he's gotten his way, that and the fact that he's a billionaire. No, let me get that. I got that backwards. It's the fact that his dad gave him millions, and his dad made sure that he was a little prince. And secondarily, it's the fact that, you know, that's how his personality evolved. He has tantrums. And I think that I think LJ is exactly right. People say he speaks his mind, or, you know, we have these various euphemisms, and what they really mean is, I'm having a tantrum too, and so I'm going to vote for the tantrum man, this baby man who blusters his way into power. It's appalling. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I've been talking about a couple of things. One, at 2:15, time certain, and you would need to get in early for that. I'm guessing from the number of people who responded, maybe way early. The city council downtown will be addressing an emergency ordinance, which needs to pass with a unanimous vote from the mayor, attempting to define time and place for demonstrations. In other words, to make it criminal not to obey their assertions of what time and place is appropriate for your demonstration. I have an immediate counter to that, of course, and everyone has. a nice demonstration permit. It's called the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And it's kept in a bomb-proof container there in Washington, D.C., but we don't need further papers than that. But, you know, when this sort of thing, when emergency ordinances like that get passed in local areas, it can take years and years to get them into the courts and get them declared unconstitutional, if ever. So it's pretty significant that this sort of thing is going down. And as I was saying before, this is a part of the popular, maybe it's not popular, but in any event, the corporate media's insistence that there is an equivalence between left violence and right, and absurdity that is belied by the facts. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I'll go to the next caller. It's Forrest. Hello, Forrest.
Hello, Teresa. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to point out, I know you are not a Russiaphobe, and Russia is not our big enemy, and yet some people will equate this Mueller investigation to, you know, proving that Russia is our enemy, that NATO needs to be strengthened and all of that kind of stuff. And it's so ironical that Trump, you know, said maybe NATO doesn't even have a person, a purpose anymore, and that kind of stuff. And now especially Democrats are take that to mean, well, because he was against it, we're for it, you know, that kind of thing. I wonder if you could just parse through some of that.
Well, yeah, I don't want to go along with the Democratic bandwagon on this, and they like to heavily emphasize that, you know, Russians are the enemy, and they've put up candidates who are with the state apparatus, and they want to stake a position that seems to be to the left of Trump, but is actually heavily imperialist and supporting the Pentagon's plans for confronting Russia, etc. I don't care if Trump was colluding with Costa Rica to get elected. He was violating the law to do that, and he was violating the principles of the elections in the United States. And so the investigation should go forward. And I think once the facts are out, it'll be pretty shocking the extent to which the Trump family colludes with, as it happens, the Russians. Looking into this over the last couple of years, it's pretty clear that Trump would have absolutely failed and stayed in bankruptcy and maybe even become impoverished if it were not for Russian oligarchs close to Putin coming in and buying out properties at inflated prices. In other words, laundering money through the Trump organization. That's how deep it goes, and that's likely to come out. I think almost certain to come out with the Mueller investigation. That's why he has fired Sessions and not allowed the deputy to rise to that post. The deputy is Rosenstein. The deputy knows the details. And the deputy, of course, is in charge of Mueller's investigation. So instead of keeping Sessions in place or removing Sessions for good reason, he has removed Sessions in order to replace him with a loyalist, Whitaker. And this is an impeachable offense, easily, pointedly impeachable offense. This means impeachment, or it means the end of rule of law as concerns the presidency, and that is why people across the nation are turning out. Here in Portland, it'll be at 5 p.m., and I was corrected, it's not the North Park blocks, but the north end of Waterfront Park, and may have more details on that coming in. If you have a good web link that you can bring to the audience here, you might want to call in. Number to call, 503-231-8187.
Teresa, can I mention one more thing?
Yes.
You know, my wife pointed out it's not so much the Russian government. You know, this is, like you said, about Trump, more about Trump than Russia, and more about the Russian oligarchs than the Russian government, although I'm sure the Russian government might wink at these oligarchs. And the other thing was that people tend to equate this Russia collusion with Julian Assange. I wonder if you wanted to comment on that.
Well, that's a handy way of punishing Assange for publishing the details about corruption worldwide, and certainly about U.S. corporate and state corruption that, you know, has led in many ways to, you know, the press looking at the Trump administration. Not only that, it was before that, the Clintons. Assange certainly didn't go easy on Clinton. I would say, if anything, Assange hates Clinton and especially targets her. But Assange has done a great service to the world with WikiLeaks, and he should be protected for that. But the U.S. wants to drag him very inappropriately, as an Australian citizen and an Ecuadorian citizen, wants to drag him into the U.S. and put him on trial and punish him for publishing the facts. And it's part of a worldwide assault on journalism that's been growing over the last decade or so. Certainly, George Bush the Lesser was very afraid of and furious at journalism.
Great. Thanks a lot, Teresa. I'll hang up now.
Thanks for calling in. 503-231-8187, talking about things going on today, because Trump has set himself above the law by appointing Whitaker in place of Sessions and attempting to obstruct justice in the Russiagate investigation. 503-231-8187, and we'll go to the next caller. William.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for the show. Hi, I intuit that I'm about 10 years younger than you. I was born in 1970, and I'm reminded of the Nixon administration, specifically when his tax return finally came out, where it showed that he paid 0% or $0 on, I think, like $880,000 or $1 million in one calendar year, one tax year. And I know things began to really fall apart for him before he resigned.
Yeah, there were things he really, there were names he didn't want to come out to. B.B. Rebozo, he didn't want to hear about the details of all his tasty relationship with him.
Okay. And I was just wondering, since you've kind of witnessed this once before, I'm very interested in the beginning of the end of the Trump administration. And since you've kind of seen this before, I was, you know, wanted to get your take on this round.
Well, it'll be interesting to know. I mean, the Republicans have been fawning loyalists to this president, and they are very aware that their power depends on him. And now that power has been dented with the House going over to the Dems. And as I mentioned, that doesn't take effect until January. So I think the question now is, will the Democrats be bold enough to move forward with investigations and impeachment over this obvious obstruction of justice? It was fairly obvious before, but now it's just absolutely unavoidable. I mean, I think there's no doubt in anyone's mind internationally looking at this. Anyone who can be clear-eyed cannot say that Trump is not trying to obstruct justice, is not trying to raise himself above the law. So the question is, will the House go forward with impeachment? I think probably yes, which means they send it to the Senate. And then that's a really big question. Can the Senate be pressured and embarrassed into actually having an honest impeachment trial over these allegations? And I'm cynical about that. I don't know. But I do think it is incumbent upon us to resist fascism just as hard as we can. And I'm really hoping that this will evolve into a general strike.
Oh, that'd be nice. Can you talk a little bit about Lindsey Graham saying that if Trump removes Mueller, that that'd be the beginning of the end of his presidency? What do you think? Is Lindsey going to change his mind?
Well, you know, I hate to stake anything on Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
I mean, he says stuff, right? And
right.
I suppose he wanted to look proper, and maybe he couldn't have imagined that... story of our times, right? Who would imagine that Trump would be so stupid? Well, he's going big on stupid, so we'll see where this leads. It's up to us. I mean, now we have to turn out in the streets. We have to call our representatives, demand impeachment. We have to do all the things, and we have to see where it goes. Part of what I wanted to say today was a list of all the things that get in the way of us expressing our political power. We are essentially being ruled by corporations, ruled by their paid for, you know, representatives in Congress. And you can prove that by polling people generally. And you find that when it comes to every major issue, The U.S. population is well to the left of the government. Way to the left.
Yes, I agree. Thank you for your show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to have an actual plebiscite, wouldn't it? Plebiscite, something the Romans would do on occasion, ask everyone, the plebs, to express their opinion on an issue. And we have something close to that in the state measures. But we certainly do not have a national plebiscite, and I think the powers that be can't afford to ever consider such a thing. And so when it comes to democracy, that's just a pretty word that you put out and repeat loudly when you're getting ready to bomb someone. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now, to add to this mess that I've been bringing up earlier, about Trump putting himself above the law by firing Sessions and putting Whitaker in, and about the Portland City Council considering an issue at 2:15 p.m. this afternoon to criminalize dissent expressed publicly. I have also received an affidavit, which is to be filed in the circuit court. And it says, affidavit of Jane Doe in support her and Juan Doe's complaint of official election interference, abusive Oregon DMV electronic information system, institutional discrimination in voter registration, and using position as an official election employee, to influence voting in an election. And among other things, it is sent to Tim Scott and Tony Canales, Multnomah County Elections Division, as defendants. And the gist of the complaint is that the Multnomah County Republican Party has unduly influenced, has cowed the electorate intentionally, and attempted to influence the election by designating as their semi-official guards right-wing militias, like Three Percenters and Patriot Prayer by name. This is something that came out in July. It was public, and everyone expressed their disgust with it at the time. But now there is an official complaint in the courts against this sort of basically using armed aggression to intimidate the electorate. And it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And it is, as I said, Juan Doe and Jane Doe. And these pseudonyms are here to protect the person and persons who have actually filed the complaint. The complaint begins, I am Jane Doe, one of the plaintiffs in the attached complaint. I affirm that the attached related elections complaint is factual and based on information and belief. These statements are truth made under oath and sworn to in front of a current registered Oregon notary. And goes on to talk about a telephone conversation with Multnomah County Republican Party, challenging them for using Patriot Prayer as armed guards for them and their invitees at their events. So I'm glad that someone's calling that out. And the number to call with your comments and questions as we approach the top of the hour now, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And I'm interested in your opinion about Jeff Sessions being kicked out, being forced out in order to allow President Trump to avoid investigation. And we know that this is about avoiding investigation, because instead of kicking him out and allowing Rosenstein in, as would be proper, Rosenstein being the deputy and the next person in line, next person in charge, President Trump has chosen a loyalist. Once again, quoting New York Times on this, just the headline, President Trump fired Attorney General Jeff Sessions on Wednesday, replacing him with a loyalist who has echoed the president's complaints about the special counsel investigation into Russia's election interference and will now take charge of the inquiry. Mr. Sessions delivered his resignation letter to the White House at the request of the president, who tapped Matthew G. Whitaker, Mr. Sessions' chief of staff, as acting attorney general, raising questions about the future of the inquiry led by the special counsel Robert S. Mueller. Mr. Whitaker, a former college football tight end and United States attorney in Iowa, one-time Senate candidate in that state, has previously questioned the scope of the investigation. In a column for CNN last year, he wrote that Mr. Mueller would be going too far if he examined the Trump family's finances. Quoting him on that forum, he said, "This would raise serious concerns that the special counsel's investigation was a mere witch hunt," end quote. And he was echoing the president's derisive description of the investigation. Mr. Mueller has subpoenaed the Trump Organization for documents related to Russia. So this is Trump attempting to do an end run around the law to place himself and, you know, if precedent stands, place the presidency for all time outside the reach of rule of law. To destroy the triad of American democracy as it is, we have the legislative branch with Congress, we have the judicial branch with the courts, and we have the executive branch, and we have checks, and we have balances. And what he is doing an end run around the judicial branch. And so to counter this, the framers of the Constitution allow the legislative branch to then impeach the president when he acts improperly in this way, when he raises himself above the law. He has said the judicial branch isn't going to touch him because he's going to quash the investigation. He's going to remove the persons, or defund, I suppose, as it may actually work out, the persons investigating him, so that he does not have to answer to questions of his conduct. He is making, as President Nixon fantasized, the presidency above the law. So go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Jared, you're on the air.
Hey, Teresa.
Hi.
Hey, I'm just almost wondering if it's not better to have, like, Trump and these Republicans in office. It just seems like with the Democrats, we get the same thing, but with it, complacency. At least this way, you know, the mask is off and we kind of know what we're all dealing with better. And, you know, it's going to take something extreme to change anyway. So I'm almost... I'm just kind of wondering if you could comment on that.
Okay, I'm going to challenge you on this.
Okay.
Are you a white male?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to challenge you because it's easy to say that sort of thing if you're white male, because it's easy to say, well, that dog didn't bite me, and it's all the same. It ain't the same. Let me tell you, as a queer, as a transgender woman, I am fearful, and I do see people looking at me with the most furious hatred these days, because they sense that the day is coming, if it's not already here, that they can pound me and get away with it. Right now, there's documented complaints that transgender women are having their passports revoked for being transgender women. And so I have to ask myself if the moment has passed in which it is legal and safe for me to exit the country or to get back in. That's just one aspect of it. If you're a person of color, the ferocity of this demagogue and his white supremacist, his white supremacy power base is terrifying and is intended to be. And so, no, we can't afford to have Trump in power. I think I have one more caller. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Getting close to the top of the hour, so go to one more caller. Hi, you're on the air. You get the last word. Jenny.
Hello?
Jenny, you're on the air.
Oh, hello?
Hi.
Oh, yes. Oh, boy, I better be quick again. I just want to make a few comments very quickly. We're programmed and brainwashed to hate. Anyone different. The greatest flaw in the human race is that we're too easily brainwashed, and we're brainwashed to hate. Remember how people were upset that Trump was friends with Putin? And now they're upset that, now they say that Russia's the enemy. They want us to hate the Syrians and hate the Afghanistans and hate that's what the whole thing is. The administration wants us to hate. Remember North Korea? Now we're told they have a big armada of nuclear weapons. Don't you remember that missile fell into the sea? People don't remember that because they're brainwashed to fill up with fear and to hate our fellow man, to hate people from our own planet, our own human race. It's all brainwashing. And that's
okay, I hear the music coming up. I'm sorry I wasn't able to respond to you because, frankly, the audio wasn't too good in my headphones just then. And so I can only thank you for calling in and participating. I can't address whatever points you brought up. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, broadcasting to you at 90.7 FM from our big red and white Eiffel Tower on the West Hills and other frequencies in Cascadia, and going out to you via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Top Dog Underdog, running Friday, November 9th at the Chapel Theater in Milwaukee. Top Dog Underdog tells the story of a sibling rivalry between African-American brothers in a turbulent relationship punctuated with dark humor. Their names are Lincoln and Booth. This show has adult content and is not recommended for children. Again, that's Top Dog Underdog, running Friday, November 9th at the Chapel Theater, 4107 Southeast Harrison Street in Milwaukee. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What's up, KBOO listeners? This is Micah Murphy, Yuhuru Sasa President at the Oregon State Penitentiary at our 2018 annual poetry share.
As long as the...